You know, I actually share Claire's sentiment about this parable for today. Seriously, it is one of those gospel texts where I wish I could have been there to pester Jesus afterward. So we have these five wedding attendants who are nervous and show up overprepared and skeptical of the bridegroom and do not want to share their oil with anyone. And then we have these other five bridegroom attendants who trusted the bridegroom to be on time. And now they've run out of oil, and they have to make a midnight run to try and find more. The bridegroom is so late to his own party that everyone fell asleep. And in the end, this bridegroom is so forgetful, he refuses to let in half of his wedding party. And the moral of the story is keep awake, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Seriously, Jesus. Shouldn't the tagline be prepared? Bring enough oil next time? This parable just really pokes at me. Just last Sunday, I was getting ready to leave for confirmation, and because we were meeting at Peace Lutheran, I actually had to drive somewhere. I know. And I turned the key in the ignition of our Honda CRV, and the engine sputtered, and black smoke came out of the muffler, and the oil light and the battery light came on. Oops. As I remembered, we actually haven't had an oil change done in that car since we moved here 8 months ago. And because we don't drive that much, car maintenance has completely slipped off my radar. There was literally no oil left in the car. If oil is what we need to get into the party, the Valentis are in deep trouble. But if it's impossible to be prepared for everything, isn't it? If anything, the pandemic taught us that. We may be able to stock up on toilet paper, but eventually the wildness of life is going to find its way in. So much of life is beyond our control. And so what is Jesus trying to get at this parable? What does he mean at the end by keep awake? First of all, we need to remember that this is about a party. This is about the last judgment when Jesus comes back. And this is not something that we Lutherans tend to talk about very often. We tend to talk about grace and leave the rest up to Jesus. And actually, this is what this parable is trying to do. We don't know when God is coming back. But this is not something we have to worry about with fear and trembling. My hunch is those five wedding attendants without oil probably would have been let into the party with the empty lamps if they had stuck around. And like other parables we have to compare it to, if they continue to pester that doorman long enough, chances are they're going to get in eventually. This parable means do not give up on Jesus while he takes his sweet time to show up in the flesh again. Because he's promised he will come back, and a mighty God tends to keep promises. But what I want to be really clear about here is what we're waiting and watching for is not this final judgment of who we are, whether we are worthy enough of God's love and grace. We know the answer to that one already. We are loved forever without exception. No ifs, ands, or buts. What we are waiting and watching for is for God to finally show up in all blazes. And when that happens, like Amos the prophet proclaims and Martin Luther King Jr. echoes, justice is going to fall like a mighty water, and righteousness will flow like an ever-flowing stream. All that stuff that we worry about that doesn't really matter is going to fade away, and there will be love and dancing and wholeness for you and for me and for every living thing. That beautiful garden of Eden that God started at the beginning of all of this, that's what we're going to get at the end of all of this. And God will proclaim it all very good. And we'll actually believe that we are good. And everything else too. In the meantime, we keep vigil for God to show up in our midst. And we don't want to miss the party when God stops by. Robert Farquharson puts it this way. When all is said and done, when we have scared ourselves silly with the now and never urgency of faith, with the once and always finality of judgment, we need to take a deep breath and let it out with a laugh. Because what we are watching out for is a party. And that party is not just down the street making up its mind when to come to us. It's already hiding in our basement, banging on our steam pipes and laughing its way up our cellar stairs. The unknown day and hour of its finally bursting its way into the kitchen, roistering its way through the whole house, is not dreadful. It's all a part of the divine lark of grace. God is not our mother-in-law coming to see whether her china has been chipped. No, God is the funny old uncle with bread under one arm and a bottle of wine under the other. We do indeed need to watch for him, but only because it would be such a pity to miss all the fun. The party is coming, people, and we don't want to miss it. There's still one piece of this parable that I would like to tweak just slightly. And I wonder, maybe, if Jesus was a little grumpy, a little edgy, because he knew what was to come. Remember the deeper context of this story. Jesus is giving these disciples this parable as a part of his final farewell pep talk. This is Holy Week. The very next chapter, they will all go to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus will tell the disciples the same message, explicitly this time. Stay awake with me. And the disciples will fall asleep, not once, but three times. On my best days, I don't blame the disciples or those empty-handed wedding attendants for not having enough oil because they're only human. Some days we have it all together, and some days our cars run out of oil when we need to go somewhere, right? Some days are just hard for a multitude of reasons. And so I think this parable needs a slight rewrite with a Lutheran lens of grace on it. What would it look like if these 10 bridesmaids saw that they were in this together? What if they said as they walked together, did you bring extra oil? It could be a long night. Do you want some of mine? And here is where our stewardship really matters. I really believe when we come together as church, when we show up, when we give of our time and our finances and our hearts and our hands, we become a community that keeps vigil together. We fill each other's lamps, and together we watch for where Jesus is going to show up next. And this is a place that's been doing that for the last 90 years. And this is what we hope to do in 2024 and beyond. You are essential to our mission. And speaking of mission, does anyone know what our mission statement is without looking? Rooted, the first word. Rooted and reaching out. We're a tree, right? We're rooted and we're reaching out in God's love, which is why we made these banners this fall. And you may have noticed there's a few new additions to the banners. There's a few birds up there. You might have to squint a little bit. But thanks to fellow faith member Chica Brunswald, our tree is starting to be a home for birds of many kinds. We've got a wise owl who has a lot of life stories to share and has been with us for the long haul. And up in the corner, we got a hummingbird who may flit among us for a time and then is called elsewhere. On this side, there's a grumpy bird. You might have to get up really close to see it, but it's definitely grumpy. Who may show up with a scowl, but needs to hear a word of grace. And then I love this orange bird with the feathers on the top, because she's joyful. and reminds us that God's beauty is all around. These birds represent you for what you bring to our tree community. You are a valuable part of Faith Lutheran, and I am so grateful for the many ways you share who you are with this place. And so as you think onward to 2024, as you hopefully fill out your commitment card today, I invite you to think about, how can we reach out to other birds who need a place to hear God's love in this moment for them? How can you blow up some balloons and participate in the party prep for God's wild rumpus? Because it's coming. What oil do you have that you can share with the community? Can you support the important welcome and care we share on Sundays by saying hello to those who walk through the doors, by helping lead worship, by assisting during communion, or reading a lesson like Charlie did, or singing? Could you share your wisdom by sitting on a committee? We still have a few open slots. Will you join me and Anne and David and Brad, who we've heard through from these past couple of weeks, in financially supporting the mission of this place for 2024? Most importantly, will you keep showing up to fill your lamp and to fill the lamps of those sitting next to you, to hear the promise that you are loved and forgiven, to remember that there is a branch for you in our tree as you are, and we are blessed by your presence in our midst. Dear ones, today I give thanks for you as your pastor, for the many ways you continue to fill my lamp, and for the work that we are doing together to make this place a flourishing place, a visible sign of God's beloved party to come. Amen. Thanks be to God.